You may have heard that it's our New Year's Nuggets message, and I'm a little late this year. I usually do this in January, but here we are. And for those of you new or newer, maybe haven't been around the last few years, it's a once a year gathering of some nuggets of thoughts or nuggets of wisdom, perhaps. I guess I'll let you be the judge of that. But either things on my heart or mind, or things that just, you know, didn't make it into other messages and were cut out, and then they just kind of get put aside and get put together into one message. So what we normally do is then, as a way of just kind of marking time together, just a fun tradition, then we eat nuggets out in the lobby after the service. We obviously cannot do that this morning, but I encouraged you on social media to maybe make some nuggets so that, you know, while I'm talking, they're cooking in the oven, just like they would be if we were here. So some of you said you were going to do that. Go ahead and post a picture or two of you eating after the service on our group page. We'd love to see it. But we're also going to deliver hot, fresh McDonald's McNuggets to two lucky households this morning. So pay attention. Here is how you enter the draw. Obviously, you have to be watching live now, but just write the word nuggets in the comments on Facebook, YouTube, or on our website, wherever you are worshiping with us. So just all you got to do is write the word nuggets, and your name should show up next to it. If you're, say, on our website and you didn't write in your name, you're just kind of anonymous, then put your name with it. And we will enter all those names together. And before the end of this message, they're going to pick from those names. So we'll let you know here live at the end if nuggets are coming your way. And Thomas may call you just to make sure you know you're a winner and that you're around and at home. So stand by. But don't be shy. If you're at home, go ahead and enter. We're just all going to root for one another, but it'd just be fun to see all the different people entering. So don't be shy. Don't worry about it. Just go ahead, do it. It's all for fun. And we're going to root for each other and then celebrate the winners at the end. So this year's Nuggets, I have themed around the topic of community. It's just kind of the common theme that emerged as I went over and looked at all the different things and kind of put them together. And usually I serve up a 5 or 6 piece nugget order on these days. In fact, one year I did a 10 piece nugget, but this year there's only 3. It's kind of like a kid's meal of a nugget. So you'll just have to savor each one a little more slowly this morning. But my 3 nuggets are, and you'll see them up on your screen, creating community, serving community, and connecting community. Admittedly, it's kind of a hard time to talk about community because it's a challenging time to be in and experience genuine community. But that's one of the reasons I want to talk about it, because it's a challenge, and therefore we have to be more intentional and strategic and thoughtful about community and draw attention to what we're doing and how we can find community in these times. So let me start with nugget number 1 about creating community, creating a sense of belonging in community. I hope you believe that Jesus is preparing a community of people, his church, who reflect the values and life of his coming kingdom. And there's no way we can do that, which should be one of our life goals, to reflect the life of the kingdom that is to come. There's no way we can do that without being in relationship. For the kingdom involves necessarily a web of relationships and mutuality among people. One potentially dangerous way of thinking that, of course, has always been there but has surfaced more in this pandemic is that we don't have to gather together to live full Christian lives and fulfill our Christian calling. When the Parksville Qualicum Beach News posted the link to the story about a church in Kelowna that was meeting during this time, and the police showed up and, I don't know, fined them or whatever it was, because we're not supposed to be meeting, and we're not saying that was the right thing to do, but a person commented on the story online and said, you know, well, I was taught you can worship anywhere. You don't need a church. Sort of implying, you know, what's wrong with these people? Why do we need to be gathering anyway? We don't need to gather together to worship. Now, of course, there's some truth in that statement that you can and should worship anywhere and you don't need a church to worship God. I get that part of it. But what this person was implying with their specific comment about people gathering is, I can worship on my own. I'd never really need a formal gathering of any kind in my life. Well, that's not only throwing out 2,000 years of Christian history. It's just not very biblical or logical or practical or good for our spiritual health and growth. I mean, I can take care of my personal health, say, on my own, anywhere, at any time, by myself. Does that mean we should get rid of doctors and hospitals and health professionals and health centers and health conferences? No, there are still times where we need to access the resources of others, to gather together, to get other opinions, to be sharpened by other people in our personal health, and to lean into organizations that are daily focused on helping people get healthy, that basically, you know, live and breathe this as their goal and as their mission. Well, the same goes for the local church and Christian community. But this idea that I don't need that community represents an individualistic kind of mentality from an individualistic society about our spiritual lives and Christian life. So part of our challenge is creating community in a culture, an environment that is no longer inclined toward, or at least right now, not well suited for community life. And of course, for now, we've focused our attention on virtual gatherings like this one right now. And that's fine for this season, but it comes with some temptations, or should I say, intensifies temptations that already existed pre-pandemic. For example, the desire for anonymity, to not be noticed, you know, to not have to engage in real relationship, to kind of just stay in my safe bubble, is increased in virtual gatherings, right? Because it's safe, it's secure. I don't have to be uncomfortable in any way. I don't have to be challenged by others who are worshiping differently than myself, who are expressing love and devotion to God differently than me, who are experiencing God differently. And just the very fact that we don't have to leave our house and enter into a physical space that is marked particularly for Christian worship takes a bit away from the prophetic act of showing the world, this is important to me, right? That we kind of use our bodies and our physical actions to show what's important to us, because it keeps our worship private. And what worries me about that is that's what society wants and is telling us, right? You can be a Christian, that's fine, but just keep it to yourself and kind of keep it out of public life. Society would be thrilled if that's what Christians did, but that's not our calling. So I know virtual church and live streaming, it's here to stay as an option, and we'll meet people where we're at. And when we do gather again, it's particularly for non-Christians and pre-Christians as outreach and a way to get the gospel out. But I don't see it as long-term preparing us for the church that Jesus is building. So I'm saying this now to help prepare us for when we can regather and how important I think it is, because I understand that, you know, our flesh might be saying, this is kind of nice just worshiping this way. I'm comfortable. There's no awkward moments or people. I can avoid, you know, what or who I want. I can arrange and edit my content to my liking. I don't have to, you know, serve others or come early or stay late. There's no sacrifice involved. I could get used to this, right? But the enemy of creating genuine community is consumerism, which is fueled by individualism. It's really the opposite of community and concern for others. In a book that our staff and council has been together, Sky Jathani points out the problems of a consumer model of Christianity and catering to personal choice in our worship. And he says the problem with choice, so for example, you know, we wake up Sunday morning and say, which online service should I watch today? When should I watch it? Who should I watch it with? The problem with that mindset is then we only engage in activities or people that we want or are interested in. But sometimes what we want is not what we need. Right? We don't receive correction or spiritual discipline or mature in Christ or work out conflict with, you know, online kind of gatherings or with group of people that we self-select to worship with us. And consumerism allows me to choose not to enter into difficult situations or relationships or pain or conflict because I simply just decide to find someone or somewhere else. So you might be wondering, well, you know, Joseph, what's the deal? Like, we don't have much choice right now. Why worry about this? Why critique this now? Well, I just want us to be aware of how quickly we can deceive ourselves, right? We should all admit our capacity for self-deception. It's okay to realize this is how we have to do things for now, temporarily, as long as we remind ourselves this is not the long-term solution, not best for us as a continual practice or a long-term spiritual growth or witness as a church. And so part of the goal in creating Christian community is so that we can better serve our community. So nugget number two is about serving community. This is last call for nuggets to enter into. So go ahead, make sure you write nuggets if you didn't already, because during the third point, which is coming up, we're going to draw the names. So just type in nuggets in the comments if you want to enter in. But serving community, being a part of and involved in a local church, the local expression of the kingdom of God, is just such a beautiful thing. The reason any move away from localized gatherings for worship concerns me, such as the increase in kind of franchising of churches across the globe or picking and choosing our worship experience, is that if you're watching an online megachurch in Australia or the United States, you know, you might be thinking, this is great, this is powerful, I'm getting so fed. But is that church concerned for the everyday needs of, say, your neighbor in Arrington? About children in your local community who aren't getting a healthy breakfast? Are they able to be an incarnational presence and light in your local community? Speak into the context you're in, a place where someone, you know, can actually walk into who's seeking help and needs a tear-filled embrace. So let me just give some examples about how we are doing this, serving our community, the role the local church plays in community, and why it's so great to be a part of that local expression. So many of you participated in our Christmas family giving projects, and serving our community in this way, providing gifts and much more for local families in need that we have connection with or relationship with in some way. And some of those gifts were for families of kids who participate in our breakfast program at the elementary school. And so we coordinated with them. When I was here organizing, you know, all the gifts, and our church was so generous and awesome, the school's vice principal came by and she told us, you know, everyone at the school considers this their church. You know, kind of the school's church. And that's what being a local church is about, right? That people that don't even come here, have never stepped foot in the building, still consider it, you know, their church, a place in the community that they know is there for them, that cares for them, that is there to serve them. And we hand-delivered many of those huge gift assortments to local families that we knew had need. And let me just share one letter that we received in response a few weeks later. So I'll obviously omit names and some details to keep the person anonymous. But this person wrote to us. They said, I wanted to send a huge thank you on behalf of my family. I've never had much belief in God or any religion. Financially, we have been having a very hard time, and she explains some of the situation. When the gentleman came to my door just before Christmas with gifts for us, I literally cried. I couldn't believe it. I don't think you guys really understand how much that means to my family. And they mentioned the gift cards and the gifts and how they put a few of the cards aside for later and forgot about them and opened them up, and there were gift cards inside that meant that you guys donated and beautifully prepared. And the letter says, you know, that was absolutely amazing. I was so worried how I was going to get through. I just want you all to know how wonderful you are. Maybe you will see my family out to your church in the future when they do face-to-face again. I mean, isn't that amazing? How just some gifts can move someone from no belief in God or religion of any kind to maybe you'll see me face-to-face at your church sometime soon. Last year, we had a similar situation, and about 6 months into the year, that person actually did show up at church on a Sunday morning and is now connected with our community. And don't you just love that, right? That's the church being the church, opening hearts, showing people we're here to be a blessing, showing people what Jesus is really like, maybe not what they've heard or experienced in the past. And I just love being a part of a charitable organization, a nonprofit organization, so to speak, where our mission is to bless people with the love of Jesus, and we don't have to demand anything in return, right? That we're not trying to make a profit here. And it's why I love giving to the local church, and I hope you do as well, that giving to the local church is a way of loving others in your community and putting the needs of the community ahead of our own. You know, we provide an open space and place where we can, you know, help and bless people with no strings attached. And I love that, you know, that we can freely give away our time and our love and our resources because there's a group of people who have a vision for the local church and give faithfully to that vision. For example, we've recently helped several people, including teens, get much needed counseling with Christian counselors for incredibly tough things going on in their life, and that we were able to finance because they couldn't afford it. Then the church was a place they could turn in their time of need. And when they would, you know, thank us for that, I would say, you know, don't thank us. It's about this group of people who want to be there, who are generous, who want to help other people. When needs arise at the local elementary school, when families need support, when a girl desperately needed emergency dental procedure, they reach out to us as a church, knowing we care and have people who care enough that we can do something about it. I remember when that girl that I mentioned needed the dental work, when her grandfather, who was raising her in very poor conditions, not far from the church here, walked into our church during the week after the girl's surgery. And told us how he's not a religious man and has had a mostly bad opinion about church throughout his life and hadn't stepped foot into church in many decades. But he said that what we did for his granddaughter was changing his opinion of what the church is like. And I could just go on and on. And many of those people are then, you know, often joining in this beautiful community. One of those random walk-ins on a Sunday morning ended up being a regular attender of the church who got saved and is following the Lord and wrote to us recently, you know, thanks for building a church that a person like me can fall in love with. Another person who was living by themselves and new to the area during COVID and therefore was isolated got connected to our church this summer through a community event and came, and after hearing our leaders being open and honest about their own struggles from the platform, wrote, "At that point, I knew that this was the place for me." And even in this pandemic time, you know, several people have told us how the Stuck Inside Oceanside Christmas was literally the highlight of their Christmas season. Or just getting a call or a message kept them going, or how the family service had just kept them mentally be able to go on throughout the summer in the midst of this, or a life group or something like that. And I am kind of somewhat bringing this around to giving, because none of this can happen without those who are already Christians loving their community by financially supporting the local church. Because if you don't have full-time organizations spending full-time energy and resources about how to speak the gospel and live the gospel and help others do that in their local context, I really believe you'd see the deterioration of communities and particularly Christian witness in them. You've of course heard that if you want to support or that if you want your local business to be around after the pandemic, you have to find ways to kind of support them now so that they're there later. And in some ways, the same is kind of true for the local church, that, you know, this is obviously less than ideal, but we got to get through this together. And it looks like we're going to be in this and doing it this way for quite a bit longer. So we need people who understand the value of a healthy local church still being here when this is all over and have a long-term vision for its mission. Because leaving a legacy is all about, you know, planting seeds in a garden that we might never see the fullness of growth ourselves. And my hope is always that we do something here that lasts way beyond my time here on earth, that makes, you know, Oceanside Community Church a vital spiritual center of the community in this island for decades or until the Lord returns. So even as we continue to create community and serve our community through this pandemic and beyond, we have to work harder than ever before to really connect the community and bring us together. And so the last point, connecting community. So I share all these stories, but does that mean we're doing everything perfect? Of course not. Are people being missed? Yeah, we know it. We feel it. Are we missing needs? Yeah, absolutely. We're still trying to figure this out. It's really hard. And we know keeping us connected is a challenge, and keeping our worship from feeling like a private activity is a challenge. So this morning I want to present something new we're going to try for a few weeks and just see how it goes, if it can kind of help in this need to connect community. Quite a few of you participated in our Faith 5 night last Sunday night, and this is kind of inspired by that response. But starting next Sunday, we're launching for a few week trial run what we're calling Sunday Connection Point. Sunday Connection Point. And so it'll be immediately after the live stream ends. You'll enter the church Zoom room through the posted link that's there, and it's the same link every week, so you can just kind of bookmark it. But we'll pair you off into smaller meeting rooms where you can reflect on the message, really just be one question about that to get you going. But what God is speaking to you, how you're doing in your life, and then pray for and encourage one another. So, you know, this kind of, yes, messes up our neat and tidy private worship experience a little bit, but that's a good thing. But it's good for us and we need it. We need to hear what God is doing in other people's lives and seriously reflect on what's happening in ours. So this is a 10 to 15 minute thing. It's not meant to be long. It's meant to reflect similar to what might happen when we are gathering, that after the service, you know, sometimes you have to go right away and that's fine. And that will happen sometimes. But sometimes you have the ability to linger, to connect for 10 minutes or so, to talk to someone, and maybe it leads to praying with them. So it's meant to kind of reflect that a little bit. And, you know, sure, you might not always get paired with the exact person. We'll try our best, but it's not meant to necessarily just, you know, put us with our best friend all the time, but we'll get to meet some new people and care for one another. But this is a way to create community, to then reflect on how our worship on Sunday might lead to serving our community by asking the question, you know, what is God calling me to do in response to what just happened? And then connecting us and keeping us strong as a community. So we hope you'll make that a part of your Sunday morning connection and commitment to your local church, because, you know, we just can't make it alone. No one is strong enough, not even the most intense of all introverts like myself can make it alone, despite the fact that we think so. So we need each other more than ever. So those are just a few connected nuggets, mostly flowing from reflections on this age of digital church and what's good, but also what we need to be careful about.